Hello and welcome to the Man Panel. I'm Michelle Martin Johnson and I'm super excited to have you here today. And I have a wonderful returning guest, and that's my friend and colleague, Mike Goldstein. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Michelle, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you back to the Man Panel. Super excited about our topic today. And before we jump right in, I just want to give everybody a brief introduction of you. Mike is a one-on-one coach, and his business is called Easy Dating Coach. And it's easy, like the letter E, the letter Z, right, Mike?
Yes, I made it difficult.
Right. And Mike gets 83% of his clients into a relationship. And Mike and I were just having a chat. And so we're talking about YouTube and our YouTube channel. So you got to be sure to check out Mike's YouTube channel. He's got some awesome content there. So if you like what he shares today, that's a great place to get more. So welcome once again, Mike.
Thanks again for having me.
So we are going to talk about something that I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this, and that is how men test women. Five sneaky ways he's testing you and what to do about it.
Yes. And before we start, I would love to read something to caveat this whole thing. We should start off by saying that not all men do all of these. And just because a man is doing one of these things doesn't mean he's a bad guy or that you need to prove yourself to him or think of it as trying to pass a test. It's more of a subconscious thing that both men and women do to see how compatible a potential partner is.
Okay, well, thank you so much for giving us that foundation to kind of build on. So this title really does capture attention, Mike. And I, you know, when I read five sneaky ways he's testing you, I can almost feel, you know, certain women's bristles going up, going, "What do you mean he's testing me?" So to give us a little bit of background on why you chose this topic, and then let's jump right in with number one.
Yeah, I chose this topic because, frankly, I really think back to my 20s and dating, and even just men in general. They do some snarky things, and women have no idea why they're doing it and what the man's trying to accomplish. And so I want women to kind of have the open book test, if you will, of so that they can pass all these tests with flying colors and ultimately bag a great guy, and also have the power, if they feel a man's testing them, to take a step back and be like, I'm not playing this game. I'm not being part of this test if they don't want to be. But if they do, they can handle it with class and handle it the right way.
Sounds good. We like the open book test idea a lot. I always liked those. You didn't have to study so much, right?
No, yeah, we don't want to study. We want to just have the answers.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so let's jump right in with number one.
So number one is he's testing you with how much you are willing to do and your interest level. And I have a great example, if you don't mind, Michelle.
Sure.
So let's say you're going on a first date with a guy, you agree to a date, and he's in charge of picking the location. So what he's going to do, let's say you're an hour apart from each other. The guy picks a place that's like 10 minutes from his house. And he's being sneaky. He's testing you. He's seeing if you're going to be like, okay, great, I'll be there. Or if you're going to be like, wait a second, I'm driving 50 minutes and you're driving 10 minutes. That doesn't seem equitable. So he's testing you in two ways. One, are you going to have the backbone to stand up for yourself and say, hold on, this isn't right? And then two, how are you going to say it? Are you going to say something like, Michelle, I'm so excited for this date? Or excuse me, John, I'm so excited. It's a guy you're saying this as a woman. John, I'm so excited for this date. It would be amazing if you could pick a spot, kind of halfway between us. That'd make my life so much easier. So, how you say it, and then do you have the backbone on the two tests right there?
Instead of saying, "You big jerk, you picked a place right by you," instead of
Mm-hmm.
me. So, Mike, I want to say I would even like for me, I like the idea for women, especially if it's a first date, and for safety reasons, I like the idea of them being closer to home. I really do, in territory that's more familiar to them. So I would even take it one step further and say, even to have the confidence to say, you know what, I would really appreciate it if you would be willing to come my way this time. I just feel really a lot more comfortable. Is that something you'd be willing to do? Because I just think women always have to have an awareness of safety in dating. And especially if they're just meeting someone online or whatever, they don't know who this person is. So I just like the idea of them being in a little bit more familiar territory. That's just a little side note.
I actually love that. Because actually it's kind of reversing the test, right? Because now you're testing him to see how much he values your safety and you feeling comfortable. And so if he really is thinking that you might be a prospect, he wants you to be comfortable, right? So now he's going to do the long drive, the 45-minute drive, to make sure you're feeling safe so that you can have a good date and just focus on what you want to focus on is getting to know each other.
Yeah, in fact, I have a little teeny story about this. One of my clients a few years ago in the UK, that she had met this guy actually standing in line at an airport to get on a plane. And they developed a rapport and then it talked a lot, like, you know, over the phone and maybe over, you know, an app where they could see each other's face and that sort of thing. And so they developed a rapport, but they hadn't really spent any time in person. And he was proposing that they meet and that they spend some time in person. And so I shared this piece of advice that I just said for safety reasons. I like the idea of him coming closer to you. But in this case, he was 6 hours away. She took my advice and this guy came 6 hours on the train to spend time with her.
Wow. See, that's how you know the guy is interested.
Yeah, now granted, they had built a bit of a rapport and he knew what she looked like and they had talked and they had built a bit of a relationship, but still, he wasn't a stickler for she had to come his way or they had to meet halfway right in the middle. And just for safety reasons, I just like women to always kind of be comfortable in their surroundings, especially for that first date.
Yeah, I think that's great. And obviously always meet at a public place so there's people around.
Yeah. Yeah. But I agree with you. I think this is a test. And I think it's also a test in terms of, do you have the confidence to speak up for what is going to be most comfortable for you? And sometimes I don't know if all guys are actually even thinking of it like a test. Sometimes they're maybe just thinking of what they know or what's familiar to them. And so that kind of goes back to where you started. It doesn't necessarily mean he's a bad guy.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a bad guy. Sometimes he's not thinking about it. But other times there are nefarious intentions where, you know, in New York City, they used to do this all the time. They'd schedule the date 2 blocks from their house, their apartment, in the hopes that, you know, if things were going well, they had a 2 block walk to go have sex. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the guy's like, I'm not quite sure about this woman, like whether we're actually going to have a connection. So if I only have to go 15 minutes, it's not a big investment. So then, you know, putting him back to having to meet halfway or come, in your case, you know, most of the way, is seeing if he is actually, you know, thinking there could be potential here.
Right, right. Okay, that's a good one. What's number two?
Number two is a guy tests by, can I say what is on my mind? And ultimately he's asking, do you accept me? Is it safe to be myself? Does that one make sense?
So you're saying he would actually say the words, can I say what's on my mind?
No, sorry. He would actually, by doing a test, he would say something that's maybe vulnerable or say even like a sense of humor to see what lands. Like, even if you pick like a comedy that you know is maybe really raunchy, like, and then you see if you and your partner are both laughing at the same thing, that could be his test. He puts on a certain, you know, like old school and see if you're laughing at the same jokes. Or in my case, this isn't vulnerable for me anymore, but years ago, I used to be very shy to say that I'm a dating and relationship coach. And so I'd come out and say that. And it was a test, because if they were like, oh, that's the coolest job ever, that was good. If they're like, do you like make any money? Like, is that a real job? And then I'm like, I guess we're not a good fit.
Right. Or like, are you over-analyzing all of our dates? Right.
Yeah. No, I'm just having fun. Right.
Yeah. So I guess what you're saying is he's sharing something about himself, or sharing something about what he likes or whatever, and kind of gauging what your reaction and what your response is to that.
Yeah. So everyone has their own thing, right? So he's mentioning what his thing is and seeing if it's like embracing of it or a runaway. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah. That's a good one. And I think that's actually a really good one in a lot of ways, because when we share that way, from both sides, it really is a way of identifying whether there's compatibility there. So that's actually a good test in a lot of ways.
Mm, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's number three?
Number three, Michelle, your tolerance for his independence. An example is, or like when he's stressed out and asks for downtime, do you give him space or do you add to the stress? So like a lot of guys, you know, they get like a tight working schedule and you're dying to see him this week. So instead of like adding to his stress and being like, we need to go on a date this week, it's kind of allowing him to have his freedom, realize he's busy, realize he's focused. And maybe you're offering to help take things off his plate. Maybe he's saying, I would love to see you too. Maybe it's, you know, how about I help you with some of your work? You know, I know you're so busy. What if, you know, this is acts of service, the love language. What if I made you dinner on Thursday so you don't have to worry about that? Like, you know, I'll drop it off, whatever. And it's not with an intention of taking his time. So like, you made the food, now he's got to stop working, take his time. It's more showing that you're there, you support him. And assuming he's a good guy, then he'll, you know, put the effort in when he is free and say, hey, I owe you a fancy dinner. I want to take you out this weekend, done with work. Let me take care of you now. So it's allowing him to have that independence and understanding he needs it. And then, you know, trying to help him and support him as a team.
Mm-hmm. And that one also goes both ways, because sometimes women have those kind of weeks as well. And also, I think it could be appropriate. It could be the thing to do to like make him dinner or take something off his plate. It could also be for you to have the ability to just go enjoy your own life and stay in a place of being secure about who you are and where things stand without getting anxious or needing reassurance or adding to his stress that way. It could be you just can take care of yourself and live a happy life for that week.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. It's showing that you have some independence to yourself, that you're not relying on him. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you know, I had a client who was in kind of a similar situation like that. She had a guy she was dating and he was on a really high pressure deadline project. And for like 2 or 3 weeks, he was completely checked out. She happens to live in New York City. So this was pre-pandemic, but she was out there in the city taking selfies of herself, doing all these cool, fun things. And she would just send him a selfie once every a couple of days of her doing something really fun. And he was like that much more excited to see her when his time allowed, because she had just stayed in that place of just enjoying her life and not being needy or needing reassurance or being insecure during that time while he was taking care of business.
Yeah, I got to tell you, as a man, like nothing is more well received than seeing your girlfriend or the person you're dating sending you happy pictures. Because I don't know why, like we probably shouldn't think this way, but I'm going to tell you how we think. We think that we've kind of provided this lifestyle. And it's not true. She's provided her own lifestyle. But in our head, we're like, we've afforded her to be this happy. Like we've provided. And that's what we want to be. Like men are providers. So even if, you know, she has her own job, she's doing everything herself, she's happy. And we're like, I did that. So you send the happy picture and he like takes credit. And now she's just having a great time. He's at work and he's like, all right, I can rest easy. She's happy. She's content. Like, I'm not responsible for her happiness. We're doing good. She's happy. And now all I want to do is finish this so I can go spend some time with her and we both can be smiling. And I want to be in that selfie with her.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a more inviting energy for someone to want to come back into than a needy or an anxious energy or a pouty, you don't have time for me, sulking, whatever. You know, that's not a very inviting energy for someone to want to come back to.
Yeah. You know, we were just talking about our friend John Gray, and he always talks about the man cave. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're going to get your guy to come out of his disappearing act, his man cave, so much faster when you're smiley, happy. Like, man, I miss that energy. Not, yeah, the negative.
Yeah. And in fact, I can remember having a conversation with John Gray about this one time. And he said, you know, when you send these texts, you know, of you doing something fun or you being happy, not all the time, but, you know, periodically, you can even say, no need to respond. Just checking in and saying, hi, I'm here at the zoo today. Look at the monkeys behind me. That was one of the activities my client in New York did. And he said, ironically, you're actually more likely to get a response when you say no need to respond, because it takes all the pressure off.
Yes. That is beautiful advice.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Thank you, John. We hear you. All right, are we on number four?
Number four. Oh, I love this one. A man tests you by testing your boundaries.
Whoa.
One of my favorite examples is the guy that's clearly, you know, he may like you, he may have built a connection, but I think he's ready to have sex. And what he does is you're on the third date, the first and second date, he was a total gentleman. He had the greatest time ever. And you like the guy. And then third date, he goes, why don't you come over? I'm going to make dinner for you. And he's testing you a little bit. He's seeing if you're comfortable enough to come over to his house. Ultimately, this guy, a lot of the time is thinking, not all men, but a lot of the time is thinking, if you come over, he makes dinner, he's going to get laid that night. And so he's testing your boundary. Once again, just kind of like our first one, how much are you willing to do? This is similar. He's seeing if you're going to say, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I'm really digging you. It would make me so happy if we could meet in a public place for our third date. And trust me, I cannot wait to try your famous filet mignon, but let's save that for in the future.
Right. I can't wait to try your famous filet mignon.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think this is a big one for sure. Obviously, this is a big one for both men and women. And I do think men will test your boundaries. Mike, hang on one sec.
Yeah.
I had to cough. We'll edit that out.
You okay?
Yeah, I just had a little tickle in my throat and I felt like I was going to start talking and then cough. So this is a big one for both men and women, because usually it's the man who's, you know, kind of pushing up against that to see when a woman might be ready to be intimate or have sex. And usually it's the woman that kind of controls the pacing on that. And a lot of times, a man will kind of push in that direction before a woman really feels ready. So he is in fact testing her boundaries and testing where she's at on that. And one thing I like to remind women about this before I go any further is you want someone who's attracted to you, right? You want someone that would like to do that with you. Ultimately, that's part of what makes a romantic relationship different from other kinds of relationships, right? So instead of going to the place, you know, he's evil, he's bad, or he's wrong for wanting that, or that he's just, you know, some horny guy, recognize that first of all, and just kind of think about, you know, in the long run, that's a nice thing to have. And then, like you say, if you're not ready, then you don't want to say, you jerk, I'm not ready for that. Again, it's the way you respond so that he can hear it and still feel like, you know, there's hope for him. There's hope for maybe more. It's just not right now. So you do it in a very nice way where you can even let them know, you know what, hey, you know what, I'm really attracted to you too. And I'm really looking forward to when the timing is right. But what I know about me is it works best for me to take things a little bit more slowly and to get to know someone better before I get involved in that way. You cool with that?
Yes. I am so glad you just brought that up. It's such a great reminder for women that, you know, men want to have sex. And it's not, they don't want to get to know you. What I want to bring up is some brand new content that I've never said ever, that I just, men will not admit what I'm about to tell you, or maybe they will. But as you know, men are not good at sharing their emotions. So sometimes when they really like you, they don't know how to say like, hey, I'm crazy about you. You're so gorgeous. You have the most amazing personality. I have so much fun with you. And I'm thinking there may be something here. Instead, because they can't use their mouth and express these, sometimes what they do is they're feeling really intensely about you. And the way they show that to you is they come try to kiss you. They are at the point where they feel ready to have sex because they maybe have been going on a lot of dates and have not felt this way about anyone until they have felt this about you. And instead of sharing their emotions and being vulnerable, they don't have that skill set so well. They go and try to be intimate with you. And that's them expressing, hey, I'm crazy about you. But what's confusing is we don't know, is it I'm crazy about you or is it I'm trying to get laid? Mm-hmm. So it's important that we try to figure that out and talk to the guy. And what we do is, you know, what Michelle said is get him back on track at your speed. You know, it's okay. He's always going to be the gas pedal, right? And women are going to be the brake. That's a good dynamic. You know, once again, men chase, women choose, right? So slow him down. And if he still wants to keep seeing you, keeps taking you on dates, keep pursuing you, then clearly he has good intentions. And you can see that over time.
Yeah, it's actually a really good test in the other direction. Not that you're necessarily trying to run him through the paces, but if a man is willing to kind of stay with it, even though you're not ready when he's ready, then that's a good indication that he has some significant interest in you. And I can tell you, Mike, I've been doing this for a long time. You have too. But I've never had one woman ever say to me, boy, I sure wish we'd have had sex sooner. I've never had one woman say that to me, but I have had women say to me, I wish I'd have slowed things down because it was like a raging forest fire and then it burned out and turns out we don't really have that much in common or we're not really that compatible. So a lot of times it's kind of that slow burn and that buildup that really is a delicious part of a relationship that you don't want to just rush through so fast.
Absolutely. You know, I can tell you from the male perspective too, like, and the times where sex happened for me personally sooner than, you know, maybe it should have happened, it's because, frankly, we weren't as compatible as we really needed to be. So the thing that was going to become interesting to me was having sex versus relationships that like it was really easy and we had a lot in common. Frankly, it didn't matter when we had sex. Like we could have it early, we could have it later. Like, I'm having fun and we have so much in common. Like we've got our next date planned out because we already have something we both enjoy. We're going to go do that next. Mm-hmm. But if we run out of stuff that we have in common, all of a sudden we're like, well, might as well, you know, bring ourselves sexually together because we kind of ran out of stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
It should be.
Good point. Yeah, I like that. That's a good perspective. Okay, I think we've made it to big number five.
Number five. How well you fit into their world, their friends, their family, his passions and interests. This is huge. He's going to test you by introducing you to friends, family, whoever's like really important in his life. And he's seeking them to say, you know, wow, she's great. But also he wants to see if we can combine lives, because ultimately that's what we're trying to do here is, you know, if we're going on one date a week and we're trying to maybe ramp that up to 2, 3, 4, well, we got to integrate friends and family, and it's got to be somewhat smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be perfect on the first try. Like, let's not put a lot of pressure on it. But it has to go somewhat smoothly to see if we can actually combine our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And I'm really, that's a big indicator for whether or not you've got a foundation to build a longer term relationship on as well. Because, you know, some of these people, friends and family, are going to be in people's lives, whether you are or not, right? It goes on both sides. And so, and I think also as people get a little bit older, because you and I both work with some older women sometimes, you know, people get a little bit more set in their ways, or maybe they have a little bit more definition around their values or lifestyle choices and exactly how they want to live, you know, the remaining years of their lives. And that becomes a really big factor as to whether those things are going to mesh well.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, we really get set in our stuff and we got to see if it matches. Because, you know, I mean, time is extremely valuable, but especially, like, I think for my folks over 60, they've tried a lot of things and, like, this is the stuff I like. I want to find a person who also likes this stuff. I already know I don't like that stuff. I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. So no reason to waste time with a person that doesn't align in all these same things.
Yeah. And when you're at that stage in life, you're not figuring out life together. You both have kind of figured out your own paths and where you're at. And, you know, the 60 and above, one may be retired. One may want to work the rest of their days. One may want to travel. One may want to stay home and work in the garden. One may want to do all kinds of volunteer work. One of them might have a totally different interest. And that's fine to have some different interests. But if your overall lifestyle choices and values are not compatible, you're going to have challenges.
So well said. And, you know, to piggyback some of that, it's, you know, you're not raising kids anymore. You're at post 60, it's all about having fun. And
right.
So to your point, like the traveling, the working, all that's got to be aligned or it's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you also, you know, you also look at people through a little bit different lens. You know, when you're maybe when you're in your 30s, you know, maybe you're still both kind of figuring out a career path, you can kind of develop a lifestyle together. But that after 60, people are pretty set in what they want to do in the direction they want to go in. So yeah, it can get a little tricky. And the people around us, you know, the family and the friends, if they don't like this person or you don't mesh, that again can cause all kinds of trouble.
Got that right. Mm-hmm. And that happened.
Yeah, exactly. So these are five sneaky ways, and they're not always so sneaky. Like, I don't always know if men are like doing this, like you started with, to kind of like, I don't know that they have in their mind, oh, I'm going to test her in this way. But they are things to be aware of in dating that I think can really make a difference. And the test, as we've talked about in most of these, kind of goes both ways, right? It's a way of getting to know each other and finding out whether or not you can mesh and whether there's compatibility, right?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, yeah, great. The guy's testing you. But for all the women watching this, does he meet your standard?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are the CEO of your love life. This guy's an intern. He's trying to get the job. Does he meet your standard? And so if he does, cool. If he doesn't, move on to the next. Like, every woman watching this deserves a great, great man. So you're testing him too. And so if he's not up to your level, next.
Yeah. And I think for women, just a reminder, you know, one way to be in that place where you're really finding out is just what Mike said, to be flipping the switch to not does he like me or am I passing the test, but to flip that switch around and saying, do I like him? Is he the right person for me? Do I see us as being compatible? And having that clarity about that and having the confidence that the right person will see you as valuable, the right person will be willing to hang in there, will be willing to come to you to make you feel comfortable, those kinds of things. And sometimes that's like a big mental switch, because a lot of women have been in the mode of people pleasing or of worrying about, does he like me? Does he like me? And when we flip that switch, there's a lot of power in that. So if you're coming from that place of confidence and knowing your own value, you can really show up that way when you're navigating these so-called tests in a dating relationship.
Well said. I agree.
Thank you, Mike. So, well, Mike, I know you have a free gift. Men over 40 choose women based on these four feelings. My best advice. Tell us about that.
Ooh, this took me a long time to come up with this video, actually. I interviewed 2,000 men and polled them for what they want to choose a woman by. And we narrowed it down to these four feelings. And so I did the poll, and now I, in a 9-minute video, tell you the answers after getting the data together. People love this video. I've published it. It's got over 250,000 views. It's got over 6,000 likes. I don't even know how many people have commented. They all love it. So I'm really excited to give this to your audience. I think it'll really help you with how to get a man to stick around forever. I kind of go a little deeper into how to implement the stuff, not only my findings, but how to execute. And this stuff really works, and men love this. And so I'm really excited for all of you to have it and then start implementing it.
Okay, sounds good. So everybody that's watching, click on the link below, the audio or video that you're watching from, and that will take you directly to the page where you can get access to this. So Mike, do you have any final thoughts or last word you want to leave our audience with on the man panel?
I want all of you to know that you 100% deserve love if that's what you want. Just never give up and have a happy mindset. And if you're at a place where you're not really happy with yourself, go work on that first, get happy. And then once you're happy, you're going to show up big time for these men. And men are going to be falling all over themselves. I don't know if it's the political climate or a pandemic or what's happening, but folks are not happy right now. And we need to work on it. And when you show up as a happy woman, the guy's going to see that, because he doesn't see it that often anymore. And there literally is going to be a line at your door to fall all over yourselves for you. And even the guy that, you know, maybe you had something for and isn't showing up the way you want, when he sees you happy again, that guy is going to reevaluate. So everyone get to a wonderfully happy place, as happy as you can be. It doesn't need to be perfect. I'm not saying like the happiest woman in the world. It's not possible. We all have bad days. We all cry. We all get sad. But overall, have a nice life for yourself. Be happy. And then re-enter, whether it be online dating or whatever. And you'll get your guy. And if for folks that are feeling happy and just want a strategy on how to get a guy, come seek me out for coaching. I'll get you a guy. I'm known in our industry for being one of the most successful at getting women a man and a process to do so. So I'll help you out.
All right, Mike. Well, thank you so much for that and those words of encouragement. Plus, it's a lot more fun to live that way anyway, with or without a guy, being in that happy mindset. All right, so appreciate all of you, all that you've contributed, Mike, and appreciate everybody being here, and hope to see you all for more of the Man Panel. Bye for now.